This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters. I'm Lee Chui Lin. It's no secret our oceans are being plundered, and it's our insatiable appetite for seafood that's mainly to blame. In conjunction with today's celebration of World Ocean Day, I'm joined by Chitra Devi, the Senior Sustainable Seafood Officer of WWF Malaysia's Marine Program, to discuss how all of us can and should join the sustainable seafood movement. Chitra, I understand that Malaysians are actually the biggest consumers of seafood in Southeast Asia. What is our annual consumption exactly?
I think an average Malaysian consumes about 54 kilograms per year. So in total, for the whole country, I think we're looking at about 1.4 billion kilograms of seafood, which is a lot of seafood, I can tell you that.
What has happened as a result of this scale of consumption on our part?
What has really resulted in this consumption is that we're actually seeing a depletion of our fish in our seas. So, for example, like one of these species, we call it the demersal, which is the bottom fishes, the bottom feeders. They've actually declined by as much as 90 to 92% in our waters. So, basically, the fish that we're seeing out in our markets is actually 8% of what used to be there.
Going back to that point about 54 kgs per person annually, which is just, I mean, that's a whole person's weight, right? How does that compare to the region, or you know, worldwide? Are we on the high end?
Yes. In fact, some quick analysis that we did, we actually realized that Malaysians are actually one of the top five globally in terms of seafood consumption. We really like our seafood. I mean, you ask any Malaysians, they'll be like, what's your favorite food? Is always going to be seafood. I mean, it is for me. That's the reason why I'm here today talking about seafood, you know? I want to be able to have it for a very long time.
When it comes to, so those bottom feeders that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Those changes in population, how quickly does it take for the rest of the ecosystem to be knocked off? I mean, I guess for people who don't understand what bottom feeders do or what the fishes do, yeah. What's the big deal?
So basically, these are the group of fishes that actually lives on around the coral reef areas. So they're quite stationary. So we have two main groups of fish. We call it the demersal, which is the ones that's stationary, and the pelagics, which are the really moving ones. So like your, you know, tunas and your snappers and your mackerels, they're pelagics. They move around. So they have a better life cycle because, you know, they are quite robust. But the demersals, because they are very stationary, they are quite linked to the ecosystem that they live on. So coral reefs is very important. And now we do see that there's a lot of problems with the coral reefs as well, because we've got bleaching caused by climate change. We have destructions because of coastal developments, sedimentations. So all this affects the fish stocks as well. And when this fish goes down, it actually affects the health of the coral reefs, because they actually help the coral reef to survive, to thrive. So it's a vicious cycle, basically, you know. One knocks down the other, which knocks down the other, and it just goes like that. It's like a domino effect.
What's the prediction for our wild fish stocks if overfishing and destructive fishing continues?
Globally, the scientists are predicting 2048 as the doomsday. They're saying that if present practices continue, present consumption style continues, we may actually see collapses in major fisheries globally in 2048. So that means that a lot of the fish that we're taking for granted right now, like, you know, all your mackerels and your tunas and your, you know, salmons, all the wild stocks may actually deplete globally.
That is not far away. You know, 2048 to now, that's 30 years, 30 odd years. Do we have enough time to arrest the situation? How quickly can we turn this around?
One thing that is really positive for us in Malaysia is that because ours is considered a tropical fishery, and tropical fisheries generally do a lot better in terms of resilience, because we are a mixed fishery, so we have a lot of species. I mean, you just have to walk into a wet market, right? You can see, you know, so many varieties of fisheries products that's available to us. So it's the same way in the oceans. There's a variety of fisheries in there. So the way that they can be resilient is a lot better. So we have a better chance. If we do something right now and we change practices and we manage our fisheries really well, we have a great opportunity to be able to arrest this decline.
What are some of the most destructive fishing methods in the world? As I guess a lot of people don't consider the fact that when you are fishing large-scale amounts of fish, you have to resort to some rather interesting methodology.
Yes. So the most common fishing gear that everyone thinks about when we talk about destructive fishing is actually bottom trawling. So what happens is this is a huge net opening with what we call otter bots. They are actually heavy metal bots that are put at the sides of the opening that actually drags the seabed. And so when you're dragging something heavy, like a really big heavy chunk of metal, so what happens is that everything on the seafloor gets decimated. Everything gets trashed, everything gets broken and gets into the net. So when you actually dredge up a trawl net, you can actually see pieces of corals in there, fishes, turtles. A lot of turtles actually get caught in these trawl nets as well. Other endangered species. And there isn't actually a selection of sizes because the nets can be quite small. So you see big fish, small fish, every single type of organisms are found inside that trawl nets. The other thing that's closer to Malaysia is that we also have two other destructive fishing type, which is the bomb fishing and the cyanide fishing, which is basically poison fishing. So we still have that happening in Malaysia.
Could you explain those two methods?
So bomb fishing is basically what the fishermen do is they actually do household bombs using some of this explosive, and then they just throw it inside the oceans closer to a coral reef. So when the bomb goes off, it actually stuns the fish. So they actually float up to the surface and then they just scoop it up. So it's a easy way for the fishermen to catch up, especially to target the coral reef fishes because they are very high in value. Cyanide fishing is what the fishermen does is they actually dive in with the plastic of cyanide and then they just pour it around the coral reef areas. It actually kills the fish and then it's easy for them to just pick up the fish as well. So basically, but what happens is that those residues always remains in this fish, and when we're eating them, we're actually basically eating all those chemicals as well.
You mentioned turtles, coral, all these other different organisms that can get caught up mm-hmm. in nets. Mm-hmm. Is it correct to say that billions of unwanted fish and other animals, such as dolphins, turtles, seabirds, sharks, even also die due to destructive fishing practices?
Absolutely, because what happens is that when this trawl net, especially the trawl nets, when they actually dragged for hours underwater, and so this species that actually gets caught, they actually suffocate inside the net. It's not because they're catching itself, but it's the suffocation because they are dragged and they can't breathe, and that's how they die. And also the crushing effect, because when they haul up the whole thing, everything gets crushed inside that net.
And the weight bears down.
Exactly, and the weight bears down, so they die of suffocation again. So it's like multiple types of suffocation happening inside the net. So we've had incidences of, turtles, whale sharks. I'm sure Malaysians have seen a lot of whale shark reports, being in the newspaper and everything. So yes, so it's a very sad sight to see. And also the other thing is that this kind of, we call it non-selective fishing gears. What they do is they catch baby fishes of commercial fish. So fishes that could have had an opportunity to grow into an adult and fetch a larger value, a better value, are actually caught when they're so small, really juvenile, and then they're just considered as trash fish, which basically means it goes into fish meal for aquaculture or fish farming, So that's really a loss of, it's like a loss of economy, a loss of value in terms of the fish products.
Sustainable seafood, what should that mean to us? What falls under the criteria of that phrase?
So when we talk about sustainability in terms of seafood, I think there are three main things that we want to look at. One is the fishing method or the fish farming method. So there are, like I was saying, there is a lot of gears that is not sustainable. Similarly, there are lots of fish farming methods that are also not sustainable. For example, like cutting down of mangroves to build a fish pond, right? So if it's sustainably managed and if sustainably harvested, then that's one criteria for being sustainable. The second criteria is that the species itself that's being caught, it should not be a species that is endangered. For example, like sharks. If you look at our seafood guide, all the sharks are in the red list because they are highly threatened. And we don't know how well they are doing in the oceans. We have no idea what's the shark status like. So its species should not be endangered. And then the third one is that it needs to come from a well-managed fishery, meaning that there is proper regulations and enforcements, you know, and there's proper harvest control. Harvest control meaning that we know how much is being caught, how frequently they're being caught, you know, how much is taken out of sea by catch. So all this needs to be documented so that we will actually know how well our fishery is doing in terms of management. So these are the three main criteria.
I'm speaking today with Chitra Devi, Senior Sustainable Seafood Officer of WWF Malaysia's Marine Program, and we're discussing sustainable seafood. Up next, we find out more about WWF Malaysia's Save Our Seafood Guide. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Chitra Devi, Senior Sustainable Seafood Officer from WWF Malaysia's Marine Program, here because it is World Ocean Day and we're discussing sustainable seafood. Chitra, you mentioned in passing just now the Save Our Seafood Guide. So WWF Malaysia has produced what is called the Save Our Seafood Guide or the SOS Guide. What does this guide tell the consumer?
When we first went and spoke about the fact that our fisheries are actually declining, we were afraid that there was going to be some sort of panic because, you know, the public is going to go like, so does that mean I can't eat fish? So that's how we thought that, okay, developing a seafood guide to actually guide consumers on what are the types of fish that you can eat and what are the ones that you should probably avoid was basically the objective of the guide. So the guide comes in three main colours, red, yellow and green. So it's just like the traffic light colours. So red means please avoid, stay away from this species because they are either endangered or the stocks are not doing very well out in the wild, or they're being caught in a very unsustainable manner. Then we have the yellow list, which is basically telling that if you don't have an option, then you can go for the yellow list. But of course, we recommend the green list because that's the ones that's coming from a sustainable source and it's doing well in the oceans as well. So that are three colours. And so the public can use the guide. It comes in both English and Malay, the printed version. We also have the English and the Malay and Chinese printed version. So they can actually use the guide, look at the local names, and they could be able to tell which are the fishes that they can and cannot eat.
Could you give us some examples in case people are heading out for lunch now and, you know, going to be looking at fish and thinking, okay, no to that?
So definitely, as I said earlier, if you're a shark fin lover, I'll urge you right now, please help us to conserve the species. They are highly dynamic, you know, they represent the ocean so well. So really, you know, if you're a shark fin lover, maybe this is the time for you to make a stand for conservation and say, let's stop eating shark's fin. The other thing that is also quite popular in our Malaysian consumption daily is rays, especially as ikan bakar. Rays are actually in the red list as well because they're being overfished, you know, so there's very little of the species out in the wild. So that's some of the items in the red list. For the green list, actually a lot of shellfish, they actually do very well because they're being harvested in a very environmental friendly way. So they do very well. But the most important thing in the green list that you should look out for is the ASC and MSC products, which is certified seafood products that is safe and traceable and sustainable for you.
I assume ASC and MSC are things that you'd be able to tell if you went to a supermarket, for example. But let's say you're going to the wet market. That's, I suppose, when you would need to use the Save Our Seafood Guide.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what we're also hoping to do is that we're actually trying to collate pictures of all this of the seafood in our guide. We're hoping to put it up on our website so that people can actually refer to pictures. Because sometimes it can get a bit tricky with which fish is which. So having a picture is always a good option to help.
Are we saying then that it's not necessarily that we should be consuming less seafood overall, but we should just be consuming the right kinds?
Yes. Generally, it's picking the right catch. So picking the green list or picking the ones that are certified. But also, I think what is important is to reduce waste, right? We don't want to encourage people to just eat because you can, but not do it sustainably. So it's about responsible choosing and responsible consumption as well.
The Marine Stewardship Council Certified Seafood, that's the MSC, and then we've got the Aquaculture Stewardship Council ASC Certified Seafood. Could you explain what these accreditations actually mean? I mean, who are these councils?
So the Marine Stewardship Council and the Aquaculture Stewardship Council were both an initiative by WWF. So we joined with a business partner to set up these councils. So they're actually independent bodies, and we call them the standard setters. So what they do is these are the guardians of the standards. So they ensure that the standards are credible. This, we call them the eco-labels. They are credible and they are representative of good, sustainable seafood products, right? And how it goes is that for any fishery that is actually, it gets certified by MSC, or a farm, a fish farm that gets certified by ASC, they're actually recognized by WWF as being sustainable or responsible, and we promote it to all our businesses and our partners as well as being the best option for seafood consumption. We're currently working with a few hotels who's actually come on board to help us in this journey. So Hilton and Hyatt and Shangri-La are the three main hotels that we've been working with, and they've been very supportive of this MSC and ASC certified seafood. And they've actually will be part of this Sustainable Seafood Festival that we are launching in June, in promoting sustainable seafood.
Except in some cases, I think that by and large, it's hard to know where your meat comes from. I mean, if we look at the meat industry, where it's hard to trace it back to whichever farm or whichever slaughterhouse it came from. So with fish and seafood, how easy is it to tell, okay, this came from this fishery, I know where this exact fish I'm buying came from?
It's absolutely impossible. It's really, really difficult, because one of the challenge in this region, in the Southeast Asia region, is that we have a lot of fish being traded internally within the region. So, for example, the black pomfret, which is the bawal hitam, is diminishing in our waters. So we don't actually get to see a lot of them. But I do know that we get a lot from the region.
Yeah, it's still in restaurants everywhere.
Exactly. But how many of us actually know that it's not local pomfret? It's actually coming from, you know, other countries within the Asia-Pacific region. So that's the kind of examples. You know, we really don't know. And it's the same for shrimps, squid, you know, other mackerels and sardines. It's all coming from all over, and there is no traceability in place. There's no documentation in place. So that's why a system like MSC and ASC actually helps us, because it's traceable. You can actually trace back. Everything is coded. Everything is documented. You can actually go all the way right to the production and say where it was produced, when it was produced as well, who produced it.
So the green, yellow and red in the guide then is more based on population that we're seeing in our waters. Is that right?
Yes. It's a domestic seafood guide meant for Malaysians, selected from some of the more popular Malaysian seafoods that we love.
How readily available is all this information, the guide and as well as the certifications?
All this information is available on the website. So if you want to know more about the guides, or if you want to download the guides, they are also in downloadable form. You can go to the SOS website, which is www.saveourseafood.my. If you want to know about more about the Marine Stewardship Council or the Aquaculture Stewardship Council, they also have a website. So MSC is www.msc.org. And for the ASC is www.asc-aqua.org.
Have you noticed any significant changes in the way Malaysians think about seafood consumption, you know, in the time that you've been doing this job, or has it been more or less steady?
What we started with, when we first started our seafood work, what we did was we said, okay, let's go and talk to the consumer. So we went and spoke to general public. We had a lot of roadshows. But what we realized is that they always came back to us and said, so where can we find this seafood? You know, we're promoting certified seafoods, eco labels, you know, sustainable seafood. Where can we get them? Do you have a place? Do you have a vendor? Do you have a supplier? Is there a restaurant that's serving it? So that's when we realized that we need to actually target the businesses as well. And that's how we're doing it. So we're working with suppliers. So GST is one of our major supporters and a supplier who's been helping us to bring in more of these products into Malaysia. And then the hotels, as I said, we're also trying to work with some retailers to bring in, to sell more of these products. So it's basically two things, to try and create the availability of these products, but also to create the access to these products to the consumers. So that's why we're now working on business, with businesses as well. It's both. I'm trying to get that.
On that note, WWF Malaysia launched the first regional sustainable seafood festival. Tell us about it.
So in 2014, 8th of June, we launched the first Sustainable Seafood Festival. And it was a regional initiative because a lot of the other countries in the region was also doing similar initiatives. And we called it the Sustainable Seafood Festival. And the whole idea is to try and bring the businesses and the suppliers and the consumers together to a common platform for them to be able to access this information and also this product. Because one of the advantages of being in this circle now, I realized that sustainable seafood products are of a much better quality and flavor. Seriously, I mean, I've sampled some of these products and they are really, really excellent products, you know. So not just from a sustainability point of view and, of course, a safety point of view, because you know that these products are produced in a healthy manner and it's safe for consumption, but also from a taste and a, you know, value point of view, they're really, really excellent. So that's how this seafood festival has come about. And this year, we're having it again. But this year, we're really expanding it. So we're starting from the 8th of June all the way up to the 30th of August. We would like to close it with a bang on Merdeka Day. And we have a few activities that we are planning. So one of the first one that we're actually doing is we're actually having an online pledge for people to actually request for more access and availability of these certified products. So if you log on to our website, SaveOurSeafood.my, you can actually log on to the pledge, sign the pledge, and we'll actually be presenting all this to our businesses and partners to engage them and to bring in more certified products.
What are the other activities planned throughout the festival?
We also, as I mentioned earlier, we also have the hotels promoting the sustainable seafood menu. As a consumer, you will have an opportunity to go to this hotel and actually sample some of these seafood products from MSC and AAC. So, for example, you know, there's some salmons that's coming in. We have got some sea bass, some cod. Of course, the local fish, tilapia, which is AAC certified. Also, Alaskan pollock. So there's a few varieties, scallops, that's coming in. And you have an opportunity to taste them at these hotels. So Hyatt, Hilton and Shangri-La, the three hotels that's actually helping us to do this. And then on the 14th and the 15th of August, 14th to the 17th of August, we actually have the actual SSF events. And we'll be having a lot of public engagement there. So a lot of consumer-facing activities, you know, you can come and have join the events. There will be a cooking station. So if you buy your seafood product at the event, there'll actually be a cooking station for you to be able to actually sample it then and there. So we call it buy it, cook it and eat it, you know. So hopefully we want to try and get these products out to every Malaysian so that everyone could actually taste these wonderful products as well. Apart from that, we have a lot of business forums and dialogues for the businesses because, like I said earlier, we want to create availability and accessibility and businesses are the way to do it. So we're talking to a lot of businesses about it as well.
Wonderful. The Sustainable Seafood Festival in Malaysia is actually beginning today, the 8th of June, and will continue until the 30th of August 2015. For more information, do visit SaveOurSeafood.my. Thank you very much for your time, Chitra.
Thank you so much for having us here.
I've been speaking with Chitra Devi, Senior Sustainable Seafood Officer of the Marine Program at WWF Malaysia. And in conjunction with World Oceans Day, we have been discussing sustainable seafood. On Earth Matters, it's The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.